You know that feeling, right? That initial buzz, that real excitement when you commit to something new.
Oh, yeah. A new workout plan, maybe eating healthier.
Exactly. Or even a whole new way of looking at things. And you start making progress, like real progress. Things click.
You feel like, okay, I've got this. The hard part's over.
Right. But then comes that quieter challenge, the one we don't talk about as much.
How do you actually keep it going?
Yeah, how do you make sure those changes stick? That they become, part of you, not just a phase.
It's the silent hurdle, isn't it? Sustaining it. We put so much energy into that first push.
And maybe don't budget enough for the long haul, the ongoing effort.
Precisely. Keeping those gains alive, letting them really take root, it needs attention.
You've really hit on the core issue there. That initial excitement can definitely overshadow the quiet, persistent work needed afterwards.
It can.
So today on the deep dive, we're going to cut through that. We want to explore the art of sustaining those powerful changes. We've got some great sources.
And we're pulling out the key insights for you.
Specifically, we're diving deep into chapter 19 of the RAFT to Freedom workbook.
Ah, the RAFT to Freedom. It's quite a unique guide, isn't it?
It really is.
It cleverly mixes, ancient Buddhist wisdom with modern science, neuroscience, psychology.
To give you a practical way to move from suffering, maybe unhelpful habits, towards, genuine freedom.
And that RAFT metaphor is just so central.
It's brilliant. Picture it. Your
Right.
own personal vessel, right? You're building it, setting sail from that dangerous shore.
Where we get caught in craving or aversion, confusion, those patterns.
Exactly. And the journey is towards the safe shore, real liberation. The acronym itself is the guide, RAFT.
Recognize life's difficulties.
Abandon what's harmful.
Familiarize yourself with freedom, those moments of ease.
And train your body and mind ethically.
So this deep dive zooms right in on chapter 19. It's called The Resolve to Maintain.
Or in the original Sanskrit, I might need your help here.
Anuradha
Anarakanpadana. Okay.
Patana. Yeah, it basically means something like skillful preservation.
Yeah.
Making sure what you've built actually lasts and grows.
Skillful preservation. I like that.
It's a key part of that recognized stage, actually, the last of the four resolves. Because it makes us face it. Getting something isn't the end.
Keeping it. That's the ongoing work.
That's the real journey in many ways.
It really sets the stage for our whole conversation today. Reminds me of that James Clear quote.
From Atomic Habits.
Yeah. Success is the product of daily habits, not once-in-a-lifetime transformations. It's all about the consistency.
Absolutely. So let's unpack this. What does maintaining helpful states actually involve?
Good question. What are we really talking about here?
Well, when we talk about Anarakantapana, this resolve, we're looking at sustaining, nurturing, protecting, even consolidating and deepening those good things you've started.
So, positive qualities, healthy habits, insights.
Exactly. And crucially, it's not about anxiously clinging, like, oh no, I might lose it.
Right, not white knuckling it.
No. It's more a wise understanding, a recognition that gains need reinforcement to stick around.
Okay, that makes sense. It's not just holding steady, but actively cultivating. But what about when? It feels like a drag. Or those old habits start calling.
That's exactly it. It demands this ongoing, vigilant recognition of the good stuff you've cultivated.
Vigilant.
Yeah, acknowledging the continuous, maybe even subtle effort needed to keep them alive. And importantly, being really honest about how old ways or just complacency can creep back in.
Sneaky things.
Very sneaky, often unnoticed at first.
So bringing it back to the RAFT metaphor, how does maintenance look there?
Imagine you've built your raft, maybe patched it up a few times. Maintenance is like regularly checking it over, even when the sea looks calm.
Okay, looking for wear and tear.
Exactly. Reinforcing the bindings, those are your commitments, right?
Yeah.
Maybe adjusting the sail skillfully to keep heading towards that safe shore.
So it's the ongoing work after the initial build.
Yes. Keeping it sturdy, protecting the good materials you used, strengthening it against future storms or currents you can't see yet. It's about keeping the vessel of your well-being in top shape.
It reminds me of that Gautama quote about what we think about.
Ah, yes. Whatever a person frequently thinks and ponders upon, that will become the inclination of their mind.
That's the one. So maintaining is about consciously, consistently pointing your mind towards the good stuff, making it the default.
Making it home. And that connects beautifully to another quote from Gautama, really hitting that present moment focus of maintenance.
Which one's that?
They do not lament over the past, They yearn not for what is to come. They maintain themselves in the present. Thus, their complexion is serene.
Wow. So it's not about ignoring past or future, but grounding the effort right here, right now.
Precisely. To ensure that growth continues.
Okay, so it's clear it's not just standing still. It's active deepening, consolidating, moving towards more peace, not just hitting a plateau. So beyond just holding on to what we've gained, why is this maintenance piece just so critical for the whole journey?
Well, a big piece of the puzzle comes from neuroscience. It's this concept called habit entropy.
Habit entropy. Sounds scientific.
It is, but the idea is simple. Those neural pathways in your brain link to old, unhelpful patterns. They don't just vanish when you build new ones.
They don't get deleted.
Nope. They can just become dormant, like overgrown paths in a forest. Still there.
Waiting to be used again.
Especially when you're stressed or facing tough emotions, that's when we tend to revert to the familiar, even if it's not helpful.
Like the brain hitting a reset button under pressure. So this habit entropy really underlines why we need regular conscious effort to strengthen the new paths.
It does. It's more than just use it or lose it for the good habits.
Right.
It means if you want those new skills, those insights, to be truly reliable when things get tough, they need constant sustained attention. You're not just building a new road, you're paving it, repaving it, keeping the old one from becoming the default again.
That makes sense. And it links directly to avoiding complacency, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Those early wins can sometimes lull you into a false sense of security. I'm cured. Or I've got this handled now.
Yeah, I don't need to practice so much anymore.
Exactly. But that's precisely when vigilance or appamatta, heedfulness,
yeah,
in Buddhist terms, is crucial. The brain loves efficiency. Without new input, it defaults to the most worn paths.
Vigilance. It also sounds like it's critical for building real resilience.
It is. Take regular mindfulness practice. It actively strengthens the brain networks for attention, emotional control, self-awareness. You're literally doing mental workouts.
Exercising those muscles.
Yes. Consistently practicing skillful states builds your internal strength, your capacity to handle future bumps without, you know, falling overboard or drifting way off course.
And physiologically?
Well, consistent practice helps balance things like cortisol, the stress hormone, and supports healthy dopamine regulation, which is key for motivation and feeling rewarded by the healthy stuff. It reduces that vulnerability.
And ultimately, it connects to just living better, right? I remember Kevin Griffin saying something like,
moving from suffering to freedom is not just about abstaining, but about living a full, meaningful, and ethical life.
That's it. And maintaining skillful states is living that life.
It's the day-to-day reality of it, not just the temporary project.
Okay, so we've covered the why, the challenges, the benefits. It's crucial.
Right.
Now, let's get practical. How do we actually do this? What are the strategies for sustaining progress?
Good. Let's dig in. First, reinforcing positive changes. Think about actively acknowledging and appreciating progress.
Like keeping a journal?
Yes, but maybe think of it more like a maintenance log. Neuropsychology actually shows that actively recalling and writing down even small wins, insights, moments of gratitude, it physically strengthens those new neural pathways.
So it's not just feel good, it's brain wiring.
It's literally rewiring for resilience, making those positive shifts more solid.
Okay, what's next?
Building resilience through mindfulness. This is foundational. It means keeping up with regular practice, breath awareness, body scan, mindful movement, whatever works for you.
Consistency is key here.
Absolutely paramount. Like a muscle needs regular workouts, your brain's attention and emotion circuits need consistent practice to really consolidate those new habits and insights.
Which flows right into consolidating healthy habits generally.
Exactly. And this isn't just about willpower. It's about reducing decision fatigue.
Ah, interesting. Tell me more.
When you make certain healthy routines, like a specific time for exercise or prepping healthy meals or protecting your sleep when you make them non-negotiable,
you take the daily debate off the table.
Precisely. The less you have to decide, should I or shouldn't I, the more energy you have to just do it until it becomes deeply ingrained, automatic.
Makes sense. What about motivation? That can definitely fade.
It can fluctuate for sure. So strengthening motivation is vital. Regularly revisiting why you started this journey, your core reasons for seeking freedom.
Keeping your why alive.
Yes. Reflect on the actual benefits you've felt, the suffering you've avoided. Sometimes the best motivation isn't just the future goal, but appreciating how far you've already come.
And then there's the tough one, setbacks. We all have them.
Oh, absolutely. Lapses, struggles, feeling overwhelmed, it happens. It's part of being human on any path of change.
So the key is how you respond.
Exactly. Responding not with harsh self-criticism or just giving up, but with kindness, self-compassion, and renewed resolve. Remember that mantra? Progress, not perfection.
A stumble isn't a fall unless you stay down.
Well put. And another huge piece for maintenance, nurturing connection and community.
Ah, Johan Hari's point. The opposite of addiction is connection.
That's the one. Actively engaging with supportive people, keeping up with mentors, or what the RAFT calls liberation friends, nurturing relationships that genuinely support your path.
That sense of accountability, shared experience.
It's vital. The neurochemistry of belonging is powerful for long-term sticking power. We're social animals. Our liberation often happens together.
Okay, connection is huge. What else?
Deepening understanding through ongoing learning. Keep exploring.
Reading, listening, reflecting.
Yeah, on themes around freedom from suffering, mindfulness, neuroscience, psychology, maybe Dharma teachings. It's not just about collecting facts.
It fuels the why and the how.
Exactly. It strengthens your insight, your clarity, and your skillfulness in actually applying it day to day.
And finally,
pay close attention to your thoughts and self-talk. That internal chatter.
The stories we tell ourselves.
Hugely powerful. Consciously challenge those old negative stories linked to past patterns. Affirm your present reality and your potential. Maybe using phrases like, that was then, this is now, that's not who I am anymore or who I'm becoming.
So it's not just positive thinking, it's using that understanding of impermanence.
That things change, including our identity.
Using that as a tool to actively redefine yourself.
Precisely, to reinforce the new, wholesome identity you're cultivating.
Wow, that's a really active stance.
It is. And going back to the RAFT metaphor, maintenance really is that essential ongoing work, the daily diligence keeping the vessel ready.
And the sources offer that beautiful image, the simile, the charioteer.
Yes, from the ancient texts. A great illustration.
So mindfulness is the skilled charioteer, right? Guiding the chariot of your life, present, aware, tuned in.
Exactly. And then you have the two horses. They need to be well-matched, working together.
Faith or confidence, sada.
And wisdom or discernment, punya.
They have to be in balance.
Perfect balance. Too much blind faith without wisdom, you crash. Too much critical analysis without confidence, you never move. Sada gives the energy, the trust. Panya gives the direction, avoids the potholes.
And conscience, hiri, and atapa, that's the reins.
Kind of like the reins, yeah, providing ethical guidance, keeping the journey beneficial for everyone, steering away from harm, your inner moral compass.
And the charioteer's vigilance, their alert presence, that is the fourth intention, isn't it? Anurakan patana.
That's it. Keeping the horses yoked, directed, keeping the chariot on the path. Not falling asleep at the reins. Active, intelligent awareness in action.
It's a powerful image.
It really is. So as you're listening, maybe take a moment now to gently reflect on your own experience with this. Cultivating, maintaining.
Yeah, just check in with yourself. We have a few questions, not for judgment, just for insight.
First off, what helpful habits or skills have you already successfully cultivated and kept going? What helps you stay consistent?
And maybe flip that. What makes maintaining challenging for you personally?
And think about setbacks. When you have a lapse in a healthy habit, how do you typically respond inside? Is it harsh criticism, or can you find some kindness there to help you get back on track?
How important is community for you? Social support? Does it help you maintain things?
Does your motivation feel steady, or does it ebb and flow? What seems to influence that?
And finally, thinking about that charioteer simile, where does your guidance system feel strong right now? Mindfulness, confidence, wisdom, and where might it need a bit of strengthening to keep you on course?
Just things to ponder.
And to take it a step further, maybe turn reflection into action, we've got some journaling prompts too.
Yeah, ways to explore and reinforce this maintenance idea. First, a maintenance plan. Choose one important positive habit or quality you've developed.
Just one to start.
Right. Then write down three specific concrete actions you can take this week to actively maintain and strengthen it. Make them small, doable.
Okay. Then, handling setbacks. Imagine a potential future slip-up. Maybe you miss meditating a few days or feel a strong pullback to an old pattern.
Write out a compassionate, mindful plan. How would you respond in that moment, applying that fourth intention, maintaining commitment and self-kindness, instead of just throwing in the towel?
Good one. Yeah. What about the charioteer within?
Reflect on the simile. Which horse feels stronger for you now, faith, confidence, or wisdom, discernment? How can you bring them into better balance? What helps your mindfulness charioteer stay alert?
And reasons for maintaining. Reconnect with your why. List your top 3 to 5 reasons why sticking with it matters to you today. Keep that list handy. Somewhere you'll see it.
And finally, connection in maintenance. Think about that Johann Hari quote again. How does connection, or maybe isolation, affect your ability to maintain progress? What's one small step you could take this week to strengthen healthy connections?
These are great practical ways to engage with this.
Yeah, just starting points for exploration.
And what's really striking about this whole resolve to maintain is how it's echoed everywhere. It's not just a Buddhist idea.
Not at all. It's backed up across different fields.
Mm.
Neuroscience, for instance, really explains the why behind needing maintenance.
Beyond habit entropy.
Yeah. While new habits form, those old pathways, as we said, don't vanish. They can get reactivated, especially by stress. So maintaining is actively reinforcing the new and inhibiting the old. And sustained mindfulness practice keeps strengthening those crucial brain networks for attention, emotion regulation, self-awareness. It literally rewires you for resilience, helps balance cortisol and dopamine, keeping you steady.
And psychology.
So many models support it. Relapse prevention strategies, like steering clear of the dangerous shore. Habit formation research, James Clear, again, stresses consistency, environment. Kristen Neff's work on self-compassion shows kindness during setbacks actually boosts persistence. It's not letting yourself off the hook.
Interesting.
Self-determination theory highlights meeting needs for autonomy, competence, relatedness to keep motivation high. And universally, social support is flagged as critical for long-term success.
And philosophy, beyond Buddhism.
Well, the Buddhist idea of heedfulness, appamatta, is central continuous vigilance in all of life. But it also aligns with virtue. Ethics character isn't fixed, it's cultivated ongoingly. And basic ethical principles like perseverance, commitment, discipline, plus the value of community and good mentors or noble friendship, kalia mitata in Buddhism, is stressed everywhere as vital support.
So wrapping this up, the key takeaway seems to be that maintaining helpful states is an ongoing practice, a dynamic thing.
Exactly. It's not a destination you arrive at and then, you know, put your feet up. It is the journey.
That regular mindful effort is what keeps the gains alive, deepens the good stuff, and keeps that RFT seaworthy.
Keeps you skillfully navigating towards lasting freedom. It's the everyday choice, really.
So embrace those daily habits, nurture your connections, be kind to yourself when you stumble, and keep reconnecting with your why. That's how you build that solid foundation.
And what's really neat is that understanding the need for this ongoing maintenance, this anuragha-cappana, is actually part of the very first step of the RFT framework. Recognize.
Ah, so it sets realistic expectations right from the start.
Exactly. It prepares you for the long haul. Mixes that realism with enduring hope.
Because preventing, abandoning, cultivating, and maintaining, they aren't separate boxes to tick off.
No, they're interwoven threads. A continuous dance of skillful effort guiding the whole path.
A continuous dance. I like that.
So maybe the final thought is to really allow yourself this affirmation, this blessing. How wonderful it is that I am walking this path, strengthening positive qualities, and creating the conditions for freedom and peace.
That's a beautiful place to pause.